The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic welcomes you back and wishes all mothers listening to our show a very happy and special Mother's Day. And I have to wish, of course, my own mom and my wife, Angela, a very happy Mother's Day. And I know they're listening to us now. So, and I want to thank you, Angela, for supporting me and that I'm here today and I'll be there soon. So today, our Radio Healthcare Clinic is on epilepsy in women with guest expert neurologist, Dr. William Tatum. We'll be tackling women's issues in the setting of epilepsy, that is to say, as it relates to contraception, menstruation, sexual function, pregnancy, and menopause. But first, this radio healthcare clinic is brought to you by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based healthcare safety net working to make you a lay expert on your personal medical problems. So you'll become a better partner with your existing physician, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and surgical care. We bring to you this weekly radio clinic and the Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country, with 1,800 participants this past March. Also on that day, we had 21 physicians and a cumulative total of approximately 5,000 hours of education. One last note. We started a Facebook page for Focus on Females this past week, and we are over 100 friends, which everyone tells me is quite remarkable for 1 week's worth. We thank each of our friends for joining us and for taking the opportunity to read our messages and my messages about Focus on Females and the educational programs and topics we're covering. So, and we encourage others that participate in Facebook to go ahead and search for Focus on Females and read about what we're up to. So today, women with epilepsy and guest expert Dr. William Tatum. Dr. William Tatum IV currently resides in Tampa, Florida. He is currently a clinical professor in the Department of Neurology at the University of South Florida and the immediate past chief of neurology at Tampa General Hospital. Bill received his bachelor's degree from Ohio Northern University in Ada, Ohio, and his medical training from the College of Osteopathic Medicine and Surgery in Des Moines, Iowa. After completing a postgraduate neurology residency at Loyola University Medical Center in Chicago, he then completed a two-year epilepsy fellowship at the Graduate Hospital Epilepsy Center in Philadelphia, affiliated with the University of Pennsylvania. After his training there, Dr. Tatum relocated to Tampa, Florida, and in conjunction with Tampa General Hospital, pioneered the Tampa General Hospital University of South Florida Epilepsy Center. He is boarded as a diplomate of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology, the ABPN, with added qualifications in neurophysiology and the American Board of Clinical Neurophysiology. Bill is currently a fellow in the American Clinical Neurophysiology Society and has served on the board of directors for the American Board of Registration of EEG Technologists and Evoked Potentials, and currently serves on the board of the American Board of Clinical Neurophysiologists and the Council of the American Clinical Neurophysiology Society. He actively lectures in the field of epilepsy and has authored many peer-reviewed journal articles, book chapters, and releasing his second book this year in clinical epilepsy. Dr. Tatum's research interests include the medical and surgical treatment of epilepsy, EEG, and clinical neurophysiology, and he is an active participant in new anti-epileptic drug clinical trials. And Bill was with us a couple months ago, when we attacked the broad topic of epilepsy. And Bill, we had a great show then, and it's wonderful to have you back with us.
Thanks so much for having me back, Steve. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day as well.
And so, on the line is Gene from Tampa. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. We're going to start today's show off with a caller. Gene, can you hear me?
Yes.
Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic.
Hi.
Hi there. Do you have a question for us today?
No, I just have to tell Dr. Tatum, hi, I'm one of your patient's daughters, and thank you for taking such good care of my mom.
Well, thank you so much, Gene. That's just awful sweet for you to say. I appreciate that very much.
Gene, are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is your mom around?
She is in the bedroom listening to me.
Okay. All right. Does she know that you're on? Does she have a question for Dr. Tatum today?
No, I don't think so. She just told me to call in.
Okay. Yes, we do appreciate that, your input, and your of course we'd love to hear that your family has done well under the care of our guest experts. Thank you so much, and pass along to your mom. We wish her a wonderful and special Mother's Day.
Thank you, Gene. Happy Mother's Day.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. Well, that's a nice way to start off the show, huh, Bill?
Yeah, very, very nice. I think I knew that was coming, too.
Well, tell me, Bill, how, in regard to epilepsy and seizures, of course, women are different than men, and we've kind of alluded to that in the opening comments with issues such as contraception, menstruation, sexual function, pregnancy, menopause. And I guess each of these have nuances that are unique in the setting of epilepsy.
It's really true. And when you talk about epilepsy, you really need to subdivide that into special populations. And as I tell my wife and my daughter, there's nothing more special than young ladies and women.
Absolutely.
But I think in this case, in this forum, in terms of talking about women and epilepsy, there are a whole host of different things that are very important to talk about. Not the least are, which for young girls as they're getting older, we want to talk to them about effective birth control methods. We want to talk to them about what to expect relative to the development of their bodies and how to anticipate what's going to happen as they sexually mature. And in the 20s, 30s, even into the 40s, we always talk to them about potentially becoming pregnant and the potential risks that both epilepsy and anti-epileptic drug may have on the effects of that pregnancy. And even further into the elderly years, there are changes that take place, and these can have an effect both on the seizures themselves in women that do have epilepsy, but also in the way that the drugs are handled within their bodies.
Mm-hmm. So that's right. So the drugs are metabolized perhaps differently in women versus men?
They are different relative to the age and the difference in their life cycles, most likely. But in women, we see the drugs having a forefront in terms of the potential effects on an unborn baby.
Mm-hmm. Both from a physical as well as a cognitive perspective.
That's right. And I know you're alluding to a recent article that we were discussing from the New England Journal of Medicine that just came out about a month ago, demonstrating a difference in the drugs that we use to treat patients with epilepsy that become pregnant, not only in terms of the risk for birth defects, but also in the risks of the young child that's developing relative to their cognition and their cognitive abilities.
And so we're going to be tackling these topics. And why don't we start at the beginning, during adolescence, when the menstrual cycle begins? Is the menstrual cycle considered a trigger for seizures?
Well, you know, it can be. And we know that in women that are going through menarche, or when they're first starting to experience their period, that there are some women that have seizures that are worse around their menstrual period. We call that catamenial epilepsy, Steve. And in this way, what's felt to be the mechanism at play is that there's a change in the relationship between the amounts of estrogen relative to the amounts of progesterone. Estrogen itself is felt to be a proconvulsant, or something that may stimulate seizures, while progesterone, on the other hand, has actually been used as a hormonal treatment for patients with seizures. But it's that mix and that relationship that we think is very important in terms of triggering young girls or women that may have seizures around their period. So the answer is yes, hormones are important for women with epilepsy.
This is very interesting. So someone, a young girl, for example, who has epilepsy and they've just reached their menarche and they're having cycles, and if you feel that, and I guess, well, let's back up a little bit. What percent of young ladies have epilepsy or seizures as a result of hormonal imbalance or the changes around their menstrual periods?
Well, we can see that relative to cause, the hormones are more of a trigger, as you said. They don't really create the problem, but they do seem to amplify it. And a wide relationship of women to their periods can be established, depending on your criteria, with as many as 3/4 actually having their seizures triggered around their menstrual period at some point, either at the start of their period, the end, or even during the time of ovulation. And that's another issue that can be very, very important, especially for young girls that are trying to get pregnant, because about 20% may actually not have regular menstrual periods to the point where they do not even ovulate, that is, becoming infertile as a result of the epilepsy, the cause of the epilepsy, and probably most importantly, the anti-epileptic drugs that are used to treat their seizures to begin with.
Okay, a lot of information here. We're going to be taking a quick break. We'll come back in a flash and tackle more of women with epilepsy.
Is your business ready for the boom? America's 78 million baby boomers are the largest, best educated generation in U.S. history, with the greatest buying power of any consumer group. They are expected to make up 30% of Florida's population by 2015. However, few marketing organizations really understand boomer consumers and how to target them effectively. The inaugural Florida Boomer Lifestyle Conference is a must-attend event for businesses and organizations seeking ways to boost sales and engagement with baby boomers. Boomer consumers. Nationally renowned experts will speak on the issues and trends having the greatest impact on boomers' lives and buying decisions. You'll have a unique opportunity to learn best practices, share expertise, and gain valuable insights to make your products and services more compelling to this huge and diverse consumer segment. Visit FloridaBoomerLifestyle.com to learn more about the Florida Boomer Lifestyle Conference, May 12th at the Tampa Convention Center. Register today at FloridaBoomerLifestyle.com.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community.
No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back on the Focus on Females. Today we're tackling, on Mother's Day, we're tackling women with seizures. And issues related to the various aspects of women's life and in regard to the effect of seizures. And we started off with the menstrual cycle and the fact Dr. Bill Tatum mentioned and discussed a little bit about how the changes in the hormones, a woman's hormones, the estrogen and the progesterone during a menstrual cycle can actually act as a trigger to initiate seizure activity. Now, Bill, as far as treatment of those types of seizures, you mentioned on the break, we were talking a little bit, that sometimes those patients would not need an epilepsy drug. They may be able to be treated with other medication.
Well, usually these are women that have epilepsy, and so they are, by definition, the vast majority of cases treated with anti-epileptic drugs. But on top of that, they may be prone to what we call breakthrough seizures, where they're fine during the month, and right around the time period where they're about to have their menstrual cycle, that's when they're most prone to have their breakthrough seizure. And if they're at that, if at that time they're at risk, there are additional treatments that we can offer them, such as acetazolamide, benzodiazepines, or extra anti-epileptic medication. Basically, other types of pills and or more of the pills that they take for the seizures that will help try to eliminate that hormonal trigger to cause the breakthrough to begin with.
And did I hear you right, that the part of the menstrual cycle that acts as a trigger is typically the same part for each person, or could it be a different part of the cycle?
Well, in terms of looking at women as a group, probably the hot time, if you will, is those first 3 days immediately before the menstrual cycle begins. There's another or secondary type of period that seems to be where women are most vulnerable, which is at the end of the cycle. And then there's a third common pattern where during ovulation, that seems to be a time period where they are more likely to have breakthrough seizures when they have this hormonally related or catamenial epilepsy or epilepsy pattern.
Okay, so that's interesting that that really multiple times during that month, a woman potentially could be at increased risk for a breakthrough seizure then.
Yeah, right around their period is really the on time, so to speak.
Okay. How about, of course, we're talking about, the young woman who's starting their period, and I guess those issues as far as menstrual cycle really pertain to the woman and as long as they're actively having periods, correct? So these issues also extend into their 40s.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Actually, even to early 50s, somewhere, about 50, 55, before they enter menopause, that's where we see active cycles take place. After menopause, then ovarian function seems to stop, and therefore the menstrual period seems to stop as well. We can see epilepsy change at that point, but more than likely it will continue into menopause.
Mm-hmm. And now how about, again, going back to the young woman, how about the issues about weight gain? And if women that are, for example, with a history of epilepsy and they're taking medications for it, mm-hmm. are there mm-hmm. some anticonvulsants or epilepsy
yes.
drug that makes or kind of promotes weight gain in women?
There really are. And I know this is probably a very, very hot topic for your listeners, Steve, because there are definitely some of the seizure medications that we commonly use that are highly associated with weight gain. A couple that are associated with weight reduction and several that are weight neutral. But there are, of those that cause weight gain, valproate, gabapentin, pregabalin, carbamazepine, oxcarbazepine. These drugs have been associated with weight gain, and it's very important because many women are very interested in the cosmetic adverse events that can occur with the medicines they use for their seizures.
That's interesting. You mentioned gabapentin. Isn't that also used sometimes by physicians for pain control?
Very, very, very likely to be used for pain control. It initially was released as an epilepsy medication. However, it quickly was found to be effective for other sorts of problems, especially neuropathic pain or various types of pain. And so now when people hear the word gabapentin, they associate it with pain because that, I think, is where the majority of the experience has now taken us.
Mm. And these medications that you mentioned, the valproic acid or the valproate, the gabapentin, carbamazepine, all these tend to promote weight gain. Do they do so by increasing appetite, or is it?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. We think it's probably by appetite, but definitive studies have really not been performed to tell us clearly that it's an effect of appetite, metabolic change, or a combination of both. But I think pragmatically, we think it may well have an effect on appetite.
Okay. And all right, so I think that's important then for our listeners that are taking one of these medications that may not have realized that there's a tendency to gain weight on these medications. It gives them something they can talk with their physician about, and furthermore, it may explain how the scale has changed over the last weeks or months, and that maybe it's not what necessarily they're eating, but that there's a stimulus, maybe there's an increased appetite. So it gives them some understanding and an opportunity then for to go back to their physician and discuss other options, does it not?
It's important that you mention that too, Steve, and I appreciate that because gaining weight and gaining a lot of weight, which is what some of these medications can promote, is potentially very hurtful in the long run for diabetes, coronary artery disease, hypertension. These are different systemic symptoms that can occur as a side effect, even beyond the cosmetic effect of just appearing as though you've put on a few pounds, so to speak.
And the way you discuss that tells me that you've seen some patients that have put on a lot of weight in the setting of some of these medications.
It's very true. And the ones that have been associated with the majority of weight have been valproic acid, gabapentin, and pregabalin seems to have a significant association with weight. And so what we tell our patients that need these medicines for, they're often very useful medicines in the treatment of epilepsy, we tell them it's a good idea to, number one, know that this can occur, and number two, make sure you're attentive to what you eat, how much you exercise, and potentially to have your weight measured at least a couple of times a week to make sure that things don't get out of control, and before you know it, you're 50 pounds heavier than you really desire to be.
And so, that's a very good point. And knowing that there's a potential side effect can enable you, therefore, to maybe change your diet a little bit. I know, for example, my dry eye patients, sometimes we put on omega-3 fatty acids. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break and come right back and discuss more of how to manage and how to think about weight gain secondary to anticonvulsants on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. Former Vice President Dick Cheney says the idea of bringing suspected terrorists from Guantanamo Bay to the U.S. will be a tough sell. Tells CBS he doesn't know of any congressional district that will welcome such a transfer. Retired Marine General James Jones, President Obama's national security advisor, says no terror suspects will be brought to this country if it would make Americans less safe. A Pakistani army spokesman says as many as 500 militants have been killed since the start of a government operation against them last week. Says at least 140 bodies found at a training camp over the weekend. A doctor in a makeshift hospital in Sri Lanka describing an overwhelming situation after an all-night artillery barrage in the country's war zone. The government says it had nothing to do with it. Tamil Tiger rebels say it had to be them. And some of the people who get phone calls saying their car warranty is about to expire don't even own a car. The call has nothing to do with an actual warranty. It's a scam that Congress is looking into. This is SRN News.
Hi, I'm Steve Skijus of It's Your Money. If you're tired of being manipulated by the ups and downs of Wall Street and watching your hard-earned money slip away, then call me right now at 1-866-630-5353. I will show you how to regain control of your money by eliminating your risk. After all, it is your money, not Wall Street's. So be sure to join me, Steve Skijus, Saturday at noon, right here on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2009 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com, and if you have not found relief for your painful red dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back. Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're talking with Dr. William Tatum today about girls, moms, and seizures. And that phone number to call in your questions, 289-1860. That's here in Hillsborough County, Florida. Elsewhere, 877-969-8600. We encourage you to call in with your questions. And before the break, we were talking about medications and that one needs to take for medical conditions such as gabapentin or valproate that tend to increase your weight. And I was making an analogy with in dry eye, sometimes we put patients on omega-3 fatty acids because there's anecdotal evidence, at least, that it can help your dry eye. Well, those omega-3 fatty acids, of course, are packed with calories, and so when I recommend patients to go ahead and take these supplements to go ahead and adjust their diet accordingly. So a little bit of knowledge goes a long way. And we're making the point that, again, some of these medications do promote weight gain, and to be aware of that so you can adjust your diet accordingly or perhaps discuss with your physician about other types of epileptic drugs. And, Bill, we start talking about a couple of epileptic drugs that can actually decrease weight.
There are a couple that are very powerful weight loss medications that we use in the treatment of epilepsy, and that actually may be a very useful side effect, if you will, when considering that many of the American population is overweight, Steve.
Now, is there a downside to that? And it sounds great, you get epilepsy, you put on a medication and lose weight, but what's the downside of that?
Well, you know, I always make sure that I'm very clear when talking about medication that all drugs have utility, and they can cause good things and they can cause bad things. But I think that with the drugs that we speak about relative to weight reduction, there are really two that are most highly associated with potential for weight reduction. One is topiramate, which has been used in epilepsy and also in migraine. But the second is zonisamide, and that is used also in the treatment of epilepsy, typically as an add-on agent.
And those medications are mostly known as Topamax?
Topamax and Zonagran.
Okay.
That is their branded name. Now you mentioned, could there be a downside? Well, yeah, there can. And one of the things we worry about, even though weight loss may be a potential problem for some that are very thin, we worry about the potential for cognitive or mental side effects that can occur with this, and really with any of the anti-epileptic drugs.
So, in other words, people may be a little slower than their function, the cognitive skills.
Yeah, that's one of the side effects that we look for, and we can control for this in the majority of cases by either starting at a very low dose and building it up very slowly. It seems that we can eliminate that potential for cognitive slowing or effects on concentration or attention, memory, speed of mental processing. These can be decreased by starting low, going slow.
All right, and that signifies to me, that tells me that these medicines have to be used with a significant amount of face-to-face time with physicians to carefully utilize these medications. A patient cannot just decide on themselves or taper these medications or increase these medications on themselves because it's just too dangerous.
I think that's absolutely key. I mean, for women that are listening to your program that want to, oh boy, these are great drugs, I want to switch what I'm on right now and take the weight loss drug, you absolutely have to talk to your physician. They have the bigger picture in mind for you, and you have to always weigh the risks and the benefits of the change and of the new agent that might potentially be more problematic than the one you're currently taking.
Okay, let's move on to the how anti-epileptic drugs interfere with contraception.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say a young woman is not interested in having a child and they take birth control pills. Which anti-epileptic drugs can interfere with that birth control pill?
Well, in essence, there's a couple of different classes, three different classes of medicines that potentially can be combined with hormonal contraception. The ones that seem to be most likely to interfere with the efficacy of contraception, that is, combined may promote pregnancy when pregnancy is not desired, are those classes of anti-epileptic drugs that are what we call enzyme-inducing anti-epileptic drugs. And there are several of them. It's classically the older medications, Steve. It's the Dilantins and Tegretols and Phenobarbitols. And at higher doses, we see that happen with of the newer agents, Topamax and Trileptal. These are drugs that can potentially interfere via the liver metabolism to decrease the amount of circulating hormone, making a woman more likely to become pregnant when they do not desire that.
That's very important. Let's go through that again, using the brand names. These are medications, these are epileptic medications that you may be on that could interfere with your body's ability to process the birth control pill and thereby increase the risk for a pregnancy. Is that correct, Bill?
That is absolutely correct, Steve.
So let's go through those brand names again, if
okay.
You can.
Starting from the older agents, which is where we see the majority of the problems, phenobarbital,
okay.
Dilantin,
okay.
Tegretol,
okay.
The newer drugs, Topamax at doses greater than 200 milligrams per day,
okay.
And Trileptal. These are drugs that have been shown to potentially interfere with the efficacy of the birth control. But not only that, birth control pills, but it can also include implants, injections, anything that's hormonally based, Steve.
Okay. All right. And let's look at it the other way. Are there any anti-epileptic drugs which can actually augment the hormones being delivered through contraceptive means? And have potential downside that way?
No. There are no augmenters per se. There are inhibitors of liver metabolism. One drug, Depakote, is a known inhibitor, but you can't necessarily hyper-hormonalize a woman. At least that's not been shown yet.
Okay. All right. And that's very good information. Now, let's talk about how the sex becomes affected in women with epilepsy. And let's start with how does epilepsy affect epilepsy affect the regions of the brain controlling sex behavior?
It does. And everybody wants to talk about sex. Everyone wants to talk about sex behind closed doors and especially with their doctor. The idea that sex it can be affected in women is been shown over and over again. And in fact, there are several obstacles that need to be overcome. And it's clear that whether you talk about women or men, that there may be sexual dysfunction in as many as a third to a half of patients that have epilepsy. And the idea is that there are areas inside the brain, deep inside the brain, that are important for release of hormones, an area we call the hypothalamus. And these may project to regions back and forth known as the temporal lobes that are very important in terms of triggering patients to have partial onset seizures. And this disruption of these regulating areas for sexual function can become affected not only by what the nature of the mechanism causing epilepsy is, but it can be affected by the medicines that we use for seizures. It can be affected by the control of the seizures and therefore create the obvious spin-off of the psychosocial problems that can occur if, for example, somebody should have a seizure during sex, for example.
All right, so what we're looking at is the, because the hypothalamus is involved, and correct me if I'm wrong here, so the hypothalamus can be involved, and because the hypothalamus is also involved with sexual behavior, the sexual behavior and epilepsy can intersect at the hypothalamus. I guess let's put it that way.
Well, there's an axis. There's a hypothalamus, pituitary, gonadal axis. And while the heart of the hormonal system per se may be the hypothalamus, it's actually the outflow tracts from the pituitary to other areas of the brain, such as the temporal lobes, in conjunction with feedback loops that are set up through the gonads, whether it be the ovaries or the testes, revolving circuits, so to speak, may become interrupted at several different levels.
All right, due to a seizure activity.
Right, right.
Okay, all right.
Seizures or drugs.
Okay, all right, anti-epileptic drugs. All right. And, for example, can the drugs affect lubrication, for example?
They can. Some of them can affect for women, can create a decrease in the amount of sexual lubrication or vaginal lubrication. It can create a painful or an uncomfortable intercourse that can occur mm-hmm. for women with epilepsy. And there are various supportive counseling maneuvers. There's lubricants that can be used. There's changes to some of the other non-enzyme-inducing anti-epileptic drugs that do not have liver metabolism that may interfere with some of these sexual hormones.
Okay, so here's what I'm hearing. Up to one half, which is a huge number, women and men with epilepsy can have an impact on their sexual performance due to the epilepsy and or the medications are taken for the epilepsy.
And I would say that it's performance and or desire, Steve, because it's not uncommon that I hear from women, I just don't have the desire to have sexual relations with my husband. And it's not their fault. It may be effect of their epilepsy and the spin-off effects of the treatment and the social ramifications that having epilepsy creates.
So similar to epilepsy drugs which impact weight, there's also an impact on selective drugs because if I heard you correctly, there are some medications that have a greater impact on sex than other anti-epileptic drugs.
We think that that's probably true. And exactly as you said, similar to the interference with hormonal contraception, we can see those sex steroids interfered with by the same drugs that interfere with hormonal contraception, the enzyme-inducing anti-epileptic drugs.
Okay, so the message here again is if you have epilepsy and you're on medications, and whether it be weight gain or difficulty or problems with sexual desire, performance, do not assume that there's something that it's just you or what you're eating or the
Very
fact that you're no longer interested in your spouse.
Yes.
You must open up and discuss these observations with your physician because, indeed, it may be related to the medications you're taking.
Exactly.
Okay, we'll be back in a flash with more on Focus on Females, Girls, Moms, and Seizures. Right back.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Town Hall Magazine. I want to reach out to parents with teenagers. How do you communicate with your kids and protect them from the toxic culture we live in? Rebecca Hagelin's new book, 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family, will help you and every parent you know. Now you can get Rebecca's indispensable book free when you subscribe to Town Hall Magazine. It's your source for news and opinion you won't find anywhere else. Parents, subscribe to Town Hall Magazine at townhallmagazine.com to get Rebecca's great new book at townhallmagazine.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Skijus of It's Your Money. If you're tired of being manipulated by the ups and downs of Wall Street and watching your hard-earned money slip away, then call me right now at 1-866-630-5353. I will show you how to regain control of your money by eliminating your risk. After all, it is your money, not Wall Street's. So be sure to join me, Steve Skijus, Saturday at noon right here on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to Focus on Females. Let's talk about seizures during pregnancy. Well, Bill, let's first, and this may not be a fair question to you because I guess it's really more of an OB question, but are there risks to the fetus if the pregnant mom has a seizure?
There really are. And it depends on the type of seizure that they experience, Steve. And this is something that we usually follow individuals hand in hand with the obstetrician. But what we see is that the seizures that are more likely to be convulsive, that is, the greater the tendency towards grand mal seizures, the potential greater risk to the fetus. That is, during the grand mal seizure, there's a clear interruption in blood flow, and usually the grand mal seizures are maybe a minute or two tops, and to a point, fetuses are very strong and grow into healthy young babies. In the vast majority, over 90% of women that have epilepsy. But when we see those seizures become prolonged, or we see them very uncontrolled, more than five grand mal seizures throughout the course of pregnancy or more, bad situations, Steve, this is where it potentially can have an adverse effect on the developing baby.
All right. You mentioned interrupting blood flow. Now, I just want to clarify, that's interrupting blood flow to the fetus.
Right.
It's placental blood flow.
That's correct.
And do we know the mechanism of that decreased blood flow? Is it this muscle contraction why is the blood flow decreased to that placenta? Does the blood get diverted away from the placenta to preserve the mother? Do we know that?
We've observed it in ultrasounds that have occurred in babies that have had seizures intrauterine, and for some reason the cord is not able to transmit blood flow during the time period of the seizure.
You say when the fetus has a seizure?
Yeah, for there's some, and that's how we've learned about the seizure effect on unborn babies. Is that there are case reports of women that undergo ultrasonography during the time period where they're pregnant and the baby is having seizures.
Okay, so when we talk, you mentioned about the risk to the fetus of more than five per pregnancy. You're talking about seizures of the fetus.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I was thinking about the mother. All right. So when the fetus has a seizure, then you actually can identify a grand mal seizure of the fetus
on rare occasions. But to get back to your point, if the mom has a seizure, the blood flow will be interrupted as well, and the baby, even if they've not had a seizure, will have the blood flow interrupted.
Okay. And all right. So now, well, that opens up a whole new area of questions. For example, what's the risk if I was going to say with the mom, if the mom has epilepsy, what's the chances of her? In other words, if a mom has epilepsy and gets pregnant, do you expect or plan on looking to see if that fetus demonstrates seizure activity during the pregnancy as a matter of course?
You do, but frequently the risk for a genetic transmission is very, very small. The vast majority of women will not pass on epilepsy to their child. Now, normally they undergo adequate high risk and very good prenatal care, but the vast majority that have controlled epilepsy will remain controlled throughout the pregnancy anyway.
How frequently is a fetal seizure?
It's very unusual.
Okay.
Generally, the moms will be the one to bring that to the attention of their obstetrician. They'll describe an irregular fetal movement as though something's wrong.
Is there increased instance of that, say, with, what's the term, where you have reduced
Well, it usually happens in cases where there's
brain fluid,
brain anything that is associated with brain maldevelopment.
How about reduced amniotic fluid? What's the term for that?
Oligohydramnios.
Correct. Is that an increased risk of seizures?
That potentially may be associated with fetal injury, and fetal injury of any type can be associated with intrauterine seizures. But by and large, these are very unusual, and so the majority will not experience that.
Okay, we're in our last few minutes. Let's get to that New England Journal study, which looked at a particular epilepsy drug and the potential and the effect on the pregnant woman and the offspring. Would you like to make a couple comments about
sure,
that?
Sure. This was actually big news. This was an article that was released in last month, in the 16th, and became national news. It was a very big study by Dr. Metter and various colleagues of a neurodevelopmental group relative to the effects of anti-epileptic drugs. And what they did was they looked at up to 3 years of age. This was an interim report, and they looked at the effects of several different medicines on the IQ of the developing child.
Okay, 1 minute, Bill. Go for it.
And what they found was that when babies are exposed in the womb to Depakote,
which is also known as
valproate, that compared to other commonly used anti-epileptic drugs, that there seemed to be an increased risk of impaired cognitive function at 3 years of age. And therefore, this article was pivotal to support the recommendations that valproate or Depakote not be used as a first-line drug of choice in women of childbearing potential.
All right. Now, what is your analysis and conclusion?
Well, my conclusion for this article is that while Depakote is a very useful drug and is used not only for epilepsy but other neurological conditions and psychiatric conditions as well, that we need to be very careful for women when they are potentially capable of getting pregnant to make sure that they know the risks not only of major congenital malformations but also for the child developing cognitively in the first 3 years of life.
Okay, so bottom line is, again, that you have to have a conversation and communicate with their doctors to be sure that they're getting the right medication.
That's right.
Okay, this wraps up the hour. We tackled women with epilepsy specialist and expert Dr. William Tatum. Bill, thank you very much for joining me again today. And this is Dr. Steve Maskin signing off. Next Sunday on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, we'll be tackling pseudotumor cerebri. If you have headaches and blurred vision and you have not had a diagnosis made, one possible explanation is pseudotumor cerebri or elevated intracranial pressure. We'll have guest expert Dr. Mitchell Drucker with me, a neuro-ophthalmologist, answering your questions live on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Have a great week. And once again, Bill, join me in wishing our wives and mothers a great Mother's Day. Have a great week, everybody.
Happy Mother's Day.